I want to preach from Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. I preached from verse 20 last time, and I don't usually preach a whole sermon on one verse, but these two verses, I just had to do it. So I'm going to read verse 20 and then 21. For our conversation, that's our citizenship, is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I want to preach on verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that may be a fashion like to his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And that word vile right there doesn't mean we shouldn't appreciate our body. We should. But it just means that the body of our humiliation, that's literally what it means. In other words, a body we enjoy now in a sinful state. That's what he's talking about, a vile body. Some people have misunderstood that, so the body is not important, but it is very important. And we need to take care of our bodies and appreciate our bodies. And when Christians even take care of the body when it's dead, I don't like cremation. You may get cremated. I won't get mad at you if you do. That's really not a Christian practice. That's really a pagan practice. It is because of economics and other things, a lot of people practice it today. Jesus Christ was buried, and the patriarchs buried, they're dead. And we do thank God for the body. This is a very important subject. Apostle Paul said the resurrection is not true. Our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. We're yet in our sins. So you can't overdo the resurrection of these bodies. We're all going to die one of these days unless Jesus Christ comes again. You don't like to think about that probably. It's kind of ironic, or not ironic, but good, that I heard two sermons this morning. Thomas Mann on the station that I listened to him on the internet from West Virginia, and then also to Brother Bradley, and both of them said some things that are kind of what I'm going to say today. Man that's born a woman in a few days and full of trouble, and we're wearing out because we're sinners. We're going to die one of these days. And our body's going to, we got some people here already got, everybody got some kind of defect. You kids think you'll live forever, but you won't. And anything can happen to us at any time. Even a kid can have a wreck, something happened to him. So these are vile bodies. Logan Green used to be a handsome man, just a vigorous man. I loved him so much. He got real weak. Sister Helen, just as strong as she could be, Olympic, senior Olympics champion. And she got where she's very weak. We're all going to happen to us probably. We're going to lose our vision, our hearing. It's going to be nasty in the grave. In fact, you know, even loved ones don't want to keep the body around too long. We got to put it in the ground because it's going to decay. So Paul said, who shall change our vile body, may be fashioned like in his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And I want to read you a scripture from our Savior before I get going here. Our Savior said this himself, so it's the truth. The glorious resurrection of our bodies. The glorious resurrection of our bodies. And Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this. He'd been talking about regeneration earlier than this. That's a spiritual resurrection in verse 25. I don't get on that right now. But I will say this, though. It takes the same power to get you born again as it did to get Jesus Christ out of the grave. I will say that. That's hard to believe. It's the truth. If you're born again, God exerted the same kind of power in you that he did exert when he raised Christ from the grave. So verse 25 talking about a spiritual resurrection. But I want to come to the resurrection of the body. Marvel not at this, Christ says in verse 28. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Think about that. Some of you may not have lost a loved one recently, but some of us have been to the cemetery. Sister Melissa has been to the cemetery to see her loved one buried. And you're all going to happen to all of you. Some of you may have some recently has happened. If you haven't, it will happen to you. So a child of God is going to believe what I'm preaching to you because the same Bible that I'm reading you from is written in your heart by regeneration. So some people think that's crazy. You bury this body and that's it. It's annihilation. But I don't believe that. If that's true, Christianity is a fraud. We're wasting our time. We've been fooled. Of course, that's not the case. But that would be the case if there were no resurrection of the dead. Marvel not this, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Hear his voice. Hallelujah. What a voice. Lazarus come forth just like that. Jairus, his daughter, the widow of Nain's son, just speaks. Because the body, the Lord said our bodies are asleep. Now, we don't believe the soul sleep. The soul of those saints who departed are in incredible happiness. But you know what? It's going to even get better. James Idick said something about this in the funeral over there, and I agree with him 100%. Yes, it's true. Our loved ones who have gone on to be the Lord are in a great condition, but it's not complete yet. They're really doing great, super great. But it's going to be even super duper great. Because they're not totally satisfied. They don't have their bodies yet. The bodies are important. It's a home for the soul. So the great day, even greater than when they went to be the Lord, can be when the Lord comes again and raises those bodies from the grave and glorifies them in an amazing fashion that we cannot even imagine and rejoin their soul. Then be the Lord forever. And she'll come forth. They will come forth. They have done good. That doesn't talk about works salvation. We know that's not true. It can't be true. But it just means that characterizes people who've been born again. Even though they're still sinners, they basically try to do good. That's what they're talking about. If you don't do good, I'm afraid you're not born again. And shall come forth, they have done good in the resurrection of life. They've done evil in the resurrection of damnation. Now let's talk about our body just a little bit. Because I said it's a vile body. Let's read a few things about how we ought to appreciate our bodies and thank God for them. I'm glad I like my body a lot. I don't like anything to go wrong with it. And I'm glad God gave me this body. It's an amazing thing to have a body. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Read a few verses about our body because I wanted to correct the thought. This vile body doesn't mean it's something to be despised. It just talks about the body for our humiliation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? You're not your own. For you're bought the price. Therefore glorify God in your body, your spirits which belong to God. That's one reason I want to write some things to those young people at the University of Memphis, because some people think the body is just a thing to be used for sinful pleasure. Don't think. A lot of people believe that. Just go ahead on no restraints. Whatever you're big enough to do, do it. And even some people who are health nuts, and I'm not, if y'all want to get healthy, I'm not saying you're a nut, but you know what I'm talking about. Some people are health nuts. They really stay in great shape. They know how to exercise. They need to use the latest technology. They know how to eat right, but they want to use their body for sin. That's what a lot of people do. Now, we ought to want to take care of ourselves too, use our body to glorify God. The next time you're tempted to do some terrible sin, some immorality, remember the body God gave you is not to be used that way. No matter what the lying world says, it's to be used for the glory of God. Now, let's also look at Romans 8, 23. And not only they, I'm breaking to the context, talking about the creation, but ourselves also, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting the adoption to with the redemption of our body. So we're waiting for that. And the saints in heaven are even waiting for that. The groaning, waiting for the redemption. And you won't be, that's why I want to sing that song. I'll be satisfied. You know what? I'll be satisfied when I'm singing in the presence of the Lord in my glorified body. I will not be totally satisfied until then. I don't be murmuring, complaining. I'm glad things are well where they are, but I guarantee you, you won't be totally satisfied until you're in your glorified body. Then you'll be satisfied forever. And then I want to read another verse. This is a great verse. I love this verse. Psalm 139, verse 14. That's a whole great psalm, but verse 14 I'll read to you. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We won't get into that today, but I tell you what, we are just fearfully and wonderfully made. People who believe in evolution have a big problem with just being dumb. It's a big problem. I tell you what, no kidding. I will praise thee, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It's incredible. The longest running article they ever had in the Reader's Digest was I'm Joel's body. In fact, y'all got me a copy of that one time. Appreciate it. I love that. And that guy wasn't even a believer. But you might, some of y'all remember that? You can get the thing on the internet, the whole thing, for nothing. I'm Joel's body. I'm Joel's ear. I'm Joel's nose. I'm Joel's heart. I'm Joel's liver. I'm Joel's kidney. I'm Joel's this and that. I'm Joel's pancreas. And I mean, they did a hit job on evolution. They probably believed in evolution. Everybody believed in it. He didn't, he's stupid. My friend, I will praise thee. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous thy works that my soul knoweth right well. All right. Now let me talk about the body of our humiliation, okay? Here's what characterizes our body of humiliation, our vile body. He's going to change our vile body, make it like his glorious body, see? All right, here, I've just done, okay, mortality, that means it's going to be an end to this life. Mortality, I'm going to die. I'm mortal. Weakness, some of you young men may not think you are, but you're weaker than you think you are. Weakness, and some of us know as we get older, we do get weaker. Death, decline, I got some D's here. I'm not really these alliterators like some preachers are, but I got some D's here. Okay, ready for this? Not very pretty. Decline, decay, disease, and death. Bad news, young people. Probably shouldn't be laughing, should I? That's what's happening. Decline, decay, disease, and death. But let me talk about the opposite of that. In Romans chapter 8, he says this in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to turn over and read that verse 18. Well, I'll just quote it to you. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. All right, here's what we can expect. I'll give some contrast here. The glory of a perfect body. The glory of a perfect body. We're going to have that. The glory of a transformed and powerful mind. I'll read you something about that in a minute. You're going to have a mind that you can't imagine what it's like. See, Adam was a genius, and we're going to be smarter than Adam was. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in devolution. Man started out brilliant. The Hebrew scholars tell us the fact that he could name animals, I mean, he understood those animals. Great in zoology. He's a genius. Listen, we're not smarter than people used to be. You know why we're doing things that people used to do? We're riding on the shoulder of people who've gone before for a thousand of years. We accumulated knowledge. But our brains are not better. They're probably worse. The gene pool is getting worse all the time. But you're going to have a mind. You're not going to believe the mind you're going to have. You're not going to believe how beautiful you're going to be. I'll read you something about that in a minute. You're going to have hearing like you've never even thought about. I personally think this, because I can't prove this, but it probably be better than this. We have octaves up and octaves down. Randy's a good music man. I believe Randy can be a octave lower than we can imagine and higher than we can imagine. If you think something is pretty now, you have to hear your thing. And the ears to enjoy it with. Unlimited energy. Unlimited energy. I doubt if you ever go to sleep. Because the sun, that's Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. You can't imagine what it'd be like. And a mind, not only be brilliant, will not be clouded with sin. Now that is something we just can't comprehend that. Like somebody prayed here this morning, even in the middle of our services, we still have sinful thoughts. We always have sinful thoughts. In fact, let me tell you what default is. Default is to sin. That's why you got to work hard to try to live a righteous life. You just let yourself slide, you're going to default, your lower nature is going to take over. But we won't have that problem then. The glory of a perfect environment. See, we're going to be in the new heavens, the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'll read that probably in a minute. If I don't read it, it's in 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter, look at Romans chapter 8, which I hope I get there. But if I don't get there, let me tell you that. You get Romans chapter 8, beginning of verse 19, read a few verses, about through 24. Again, 2 Peter, listen, we are going to be, this whole creation groans and travails until now. The whole creation, not only is Adam cursed, when he fell into sin, the creation was cursed. The environment was cursed. So now, my friend, even though the world is a beautiful place in a lot of places, it's still cursed. Even the prettiest places in this earth are living under the curse. When that curse is lifted, the new heavens and the new earth, where dwells righteousness, it can be amazing. It's going to be amazing. I can't overstate the case. All right. Now let's look at a few scriptures, because we ought to long for this. We ought to long for this. And I'm so glad, even though we have a clearer knowledge in the New Testament than they did in the Old Testament, still God showed Old Testament saints about the resurrection. They didn't understand as much about it as we do. In fact, in the Old Testament, nothing is complete as it is in the New Testament. Well, thank God for leading the New Testament era. But let me show you what Job's longing was in the book of Job. This is beautiful. Look in chapter 19. I'm going to read verse 23 through 27. Job really was in a passion here, in a great passion. As you can see in verse, this is 19, 23 through 27. Oh, that my words were now written. He had something in his soul that's driving him. He said, oh, I could just write this down. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Well, Job got more than he bargained for. He realized it'd be the Bible. Pretty good, huh? He wanted it in a book, but a better book than he thought it'd be. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. In other words, this ought to be permanent. It ought to be permanent. It is. One jot or one tittle will not pass till all be fulfilled. Job, what are you so excited about? What do you want to write down? What do you want people to know about? Then we see what he says. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And he went through some hard time, didn't he? Think about that. You may be going through some hard time now. Terrible times, maybe. I don't know. Some of you may have a dread disease you'll find out about. But see, still in the middle of his troubles, God every now and then will give him a flash of glory, and he'll do you the same way. You may not feel this way every moment and every day. You may go through some hard times, but brothers and sisters, hold on. When God knows you really need it, he'll let you have a flash of insight that'll thrill your soul and keep you going. Isn't that good that God does that? I think he lets us sometimes languish on purpose. We may appreciate him more and be brought to depend on him more. He has all wise ways. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And he will. He's going to come again. And though my skin worms destroy this body, pretty gross, huh? All those little maggots. I wouldn't want to see a corpse a couple of 3 days after it's gone, would you? That's kind of gross, isn't it, folks? That's the reality. The most beautiful woman that ever lived is going to be eaten with maggots some of these days. Going to corrupt. The strongest fellow that ever lived will someday be reduced to corruption and finally to a pile of dust. That's the reality. And though after my skin will destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My flesh. Your flesh. Your body. God's not going to create a new body. He's resurrecting your body. This is not a creation. It's a resurrection. Well, that's impossible. How can God get all those fragments together? What if I got eaten up by a shark? God, my friend, no problem getting the molecules back together. It's going to be you. Thank God for my body. You love your body. You ought to. And take care of it. But God loves it enough. He died for it, my precious friends. Isn't that amazing? Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes it behold, and not another. Though my reins, that's my insides, be consumed within me. Isn't that glorious? My friend, may God give you that wonderful passion every now and then at least, that you'll think about this glorification. Let's look at a few more scriptures that talk about the glory. Over in Psalm 17, verse 15. In fact, if you want to write this down or take a note, the last verse in Psalm 17, the last verse in Psalm 18 are wonderful. 16 are wonderful. Here's Psalm 17, 15. This is great. Listen. This is not a fairy story, is it? This is a reality. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? It kind of sounds crazy. That's why people are not born again can't believe it. You mean to tell me that body we put in a grave that doesn't move anymore, going to decay, and going to come alive again? I can understand how a person who's not born again could think that way. Because they walk by sight. But God said we must walk by faith, not by sight. Faith believes God's word. And the grace of faith enables you to lay hold on that objective faith that's in the Bible. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied while I wake with thy likeness. That's when you can be satisfied. Not till then. Not fully. Let's read that again. That's the 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Face to face with Christ my Savior. And I'll be perfect. So I can say I can't, according to 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I cannot stand his presence now. If he were to come now in his glory, I could not stand in his presence. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I bear the image now of the earthy, but I will bear the image of the heavenly then. I'll be able to actually look at him face to face without being destroyed. I'll behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. Then over in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. Thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, we use the word euphoria. My friend, we don't know what euphoria even smells like. We don't know what it even looks like at all. You look at the happiest you've ever been, the most euphoric you've ever been. It's going to be far beyond that. Will be forever and forever. Why? Because we'll be in his presence forever. I really think what's going to happen, really. When we see him, we're going to start shouting praise, and we ain't going to quit. Well, I shouldn't have said ain't. But ain't no such word as ain't, they say. You think about that. You think you can't help it. When you see that smiling face of the Son of God that died for you, you can't help but breaking forth into praise. And you'll be in his presence. Read about it in Revelation. The angels, they rest not day and night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is, and is to come. Revelation is a scene of the heavenlies. It's a scene of glory and majesty and rejoicing and worship. And you won't be bored. You won't be bored. Okay, a few more scriptures. A few more scriptures. I'll just give you a few scriptures here. I'm just hitting the surface. You might know that. Look over in Job 14. He's asking a question that many people ask. You may ask yourself this question. 14, and read verses 14 and 15. If a man die, shall he live again? Have you ever thought about that? If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. My change come! I'll change your vile body like it is glorious body. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. You're going to call God, and I'm going to answer you. I'm going to answer. Now let's look at a few more scriptures. I'm just giving you scriptures. I'm not giving you my opinion, am I? My opinion is not worth much, is it? So on matters like this, it's not worth anything, because I haven't been there, and you haven't either. But my opinion is not my opinion. This is God's word. Let's look over in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. All right, let's read the first three verses. Behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's an amazing thing. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we're the sons of God, even right now. And doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. We're not going to be God. We're going to be like him, his glorified body. We're going to see him as he is. And here's the effect he's going to have on us. And this is a very important doctrine. Paul makes that plain. I can't give the fifth. I'll spend a little bit of time in 1 Corinthians 15. I spent a lot of time in it this week. I would suggest you do that. But Paul makes it plain. The doctrine of the resurrection had a purifying effect on people. See, people who deny the resurrection, Paul had an answer to objection and said, well, we're going to die anyway. That's it. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. That's what a lot of people live in, that kind of life, a hedonistic life. Eat and drink, be merry. Party. Not even think about the future. But Bradley said this morning on his program, he asked a lot of people in that lately, where are you going to go when you die? Pretty good question. And then why do you think? And everybody going to heaven, of course. Everybody. Nobody said, I'm going to hell, you know. Then he asked them why they're going. Well, they all get these terrible answers. I've been a good boy. And you can't be a good boy good enough to get in heaven. And I'm a nice person. All that kind of stuff. So My friend, the doctrine of the resurrection had a purifying effect on people. I'm going to go into glory one of these days. I need to behave myself. And lots of places make that plain. But anyway, let me read this to you again. I'll read verse 2 again, then verse 3. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. We are. That's an amazing thing, we're the sons of God. Children of God. Heavenly Father. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And every man, man and woman, they have this hope in him, purify themselves even as he is pure. So the stronger that hope is, the purer you're going to live. So let's nourish that hope, that wonderful expectation. The blessed hope is called over the book of Titus. The glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about that. Isn't it good to expect good things? You kids always think, I'm looking forward to my birthday. I know that Emory's kid looking forward to going to Branson, right, Emory? They're looking forward to it. Expect it. My friend heading for heaven, expect it. Enjoy thinking about it. That's where you're going. Think about it. Hallelujah. I like to go on vacations, but about this is the best vacation. This is a perpetual vacation, a permanent vacation, a glorious vacation I'm going to some of these days. All right, let's look at a few more scriptures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I wish I could do the whole chapter, but I'm not going to try it, but I'm going to go to a little bit of it. Let's look at some things here in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to go down all the way down to verse 43, I think. Because I want to give some contrast here, my friend, about the body we have now and the body we'll have then. Which is the same body, but a glorified body, okay? Let's look at some things here. Let's look at some words. 1 Corinthians 15, let's go down. And you know I'm not being complete, don't you? You know I'm not being complete. All right. I'm going to read, I think, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It, and that it is your body, is sown in corruption, is raised in corruption. All right, let's look at those words a little bit. It's sown in corruption. Sown, when I put in the grave, is sown in corruption. That's what the Bible says. All right, let me tell you what corruption means. I got the Greek word, but I won't read it. But I'm going to tell you what it means. It means decay, corruption, ruin. Frail, mortal, liable to corruption, disease, aging, death, sinful, moral, and natural corruption. And Gill said this, and he's right. If you don't really see corruption, look how bad it is if you have a terrible disease. And Job was so diseased, he didn't die of this disease. He's so diseased, he is so disfigured. Even the men that came to see him, his medical comforters, it was 2 or 3 days before they spoke to him. They're so taken aback. That happened to people sometimes. When I was over in India, Richard, Brother Gunnar's son, who's an oral surgeon, showed me a terrible picture of a man who had cancer of the jaw. It was awful. Now, we may not get cancer of the jaw, but my friend, we're heading for corruption. It is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. The very opposite. The very opposite. Think about that. Your body that's raised will be raised incorruptible. It cannot be decayed. It cannot have any blemishes about it. Our bodies have blemishes, don't they? All of them do. Even the very prettiest people have blemishes. Sometimes they worry about it more than us old ugly guys do. We got so many dents in us, we kind of give up a long time ago. But people worry about their appearance. That's why the cosmetic industry is such a big industry and all that. And it's okay to look as attractive as you can, as long as you don't make a god out of it. But my friend, I'm telling you, even you pretty girls are corrupt. Even you handsome young men are corrupt. Your body will be sown in corruption, but thank God it will be raised incorruptible. All right, let's look at some more words here. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. Let's read dishonor here. Another good old Greek word. Reproach, vile, blemishes, defects, imperfections, at death, nauseous, filthy, loathsome. Nobody likes to think about stuff like that. That's what it means, dishonor. But it's raised in glory. Raised in glory. And let me tell you something about glory that may help you a little bit. Look over at Daniel chapter 12. I could not begin to describe what it can be like to be raised in glory. But over in Daniel chapter 12, I'll read you verse 2 and 3. Talk about the resurrection. See, this Old Testament had this in it, didn't it? Job had it. Daniel had it. David had it. Lots of people had it about the resurrection. Not quite as clear as it is in the New Testament, but they had this wonderful doctrine. All right. Daniel 12, 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise, that's his children, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Isn't that beautiful? Shine as the sun. I think one reason why Adam and Eve weren't ashamed to be naked in the Garden of Eden is I think they had a glow about them. They were not sinners. And this is going to be a lot better than that. A brilliant, look at that. Shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, talking about, no doubt about the sun. So that's dishonor. And that's glory. A weakness. Another word for weakness. Feebleness. And feebleness of mind also. Feebleness of body, feebleness of mind. We're all weak. The older we get, the weaker we get. We got people in our church have a hard time even getting around. Poor old Reggie, when I pick him up sometimes, and I picked him up in my truck one time, had to help him get up in the truck. Didn't have a running board. Some people get so bad off they can't even hardly tie their shoes. We're weak, my friends. Nobody can do what we want to do. We get tired, don't we? We get tired. We have pains. But we're going to be raised in power. And that word is dynamis. We get dynamite from it. Ability, strength. Ability, strength. And then I want to go to verse 53 here. Verse 53. Of 1 Corinthians 15. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. That's the word I want. This took my breath away. I know what it means, but I like the way the dictionary said it. And if your name is Athanasia, by the way, some of you girls, that word means this. Deathlessness. You like that? You like that? Deathlessness. You had a beginning, but you don't have an end. Deathlessness. Hallelujah. So I'm going to summarize a little bit. Then we'll read a couple of scriptures and we'll quit. We're going to be free from this in our vile body, if made like it is glorified. We're going to be free from weakness, frailty, corruption, and mortality. Let's look at a few scriptures that we sometimes use at funerals, but it ought to be used not only at funerals. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll read verse 13 through 18. Then I'll read a couple more scriptures. I'll be through. I hope this will soak in. It's the truth. It's the truth. That's why we can, as we're going to read here, sorrow as those that have hope, not sorrow as those that don't have hope. See, I buried some dear loved ones. In fact, today is the day my baby died. I forgot how many years ago, 1991, today. I remember that day. I forgot when we had the funeral, but I remember a lot of y'all were with us. We got a picture of some of you dear, precious people who were supporting us, supporting my dear wife, who just had a C-section. She got a cemetery. Y'all would just stay with her. And I remember the last thing I did for my baby, I just had to do it. The old guy was shoveling in dirt on the coffin. I said, give me that shovel. Give me that shovel. And it just meant something to me to shovel a little dirt in. Like I told you one time, up in West Virginia, when Thomas and Hannah's baby died, and Thomas was going to preach the funeral, but he just couldn't do it. He asked me to do it. And I'll tell you what I told him, I'll never forget this. Thomas made this beautiful, beautiful coffin. He's a good cabinet maker for his little infant son. A work of love. And I made the point, told him about me shoving the dirt in on Mary Eunice. I said, Thomas made this beautiful coffin, so we've done all we can do. I'm going to tell you about what we can do something about it. I did. I tell you what we can do is do something. We might can shovel some dirt, build a coffin. But brother, I'm telling you about one who's getting out of the grave. Hallelujah. All right. Let's read this 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 13. I don't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning that which are asleep. I like that sleep, don't y'all? As far as God can turn that what it is. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Some people don't have any hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? If you believe that, you're in good shape. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died? Do you believe he rose again? If you do really believe that, you're in pretty good shape. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even to them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. So he's going to bring the saints with him. Their bodies are sleeping. He's talking about the saints in heaven. He's going to bring them when he comes. I bet they're waiting. I bet they're waiting today. This is going to be a great day. It's going to be a big something. We're going to come on back down here with the Lord. And this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord. And we may be. Who knows? I'd kind of like that, wouldn't you? It said in 1 Corinthians 15, some people be changed. They won't even die. Elijah didn't die. Enoch didn't die. God showed us what he can do, didn't he? He didn't have a lot of people to show them. He showed Elijah, come off this chariot, let's go to heaven. Enoch, you're translated, you should not see death. He just showed what he can do. So at the last time, there'll be a bunch of people, no doubt, his children, on this old earth. When he comes again, they won't die, they'll be changed instantly. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or not precede them which are asleep. Now this is good. Listen to this. Pay attention to this. This is true. The Lord himself should descend from heaven. With a shout. Shout, God. Lord have mercy. And even, it's going to be quite a day. Even 1 Corinthians 15 said a trump. Trumpets blowing, him shouting. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. The voice of the archangel. No, it says trump here too, by the way. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain the coming of the Lord. Remain, should be caught up together with them. Caught up together with them. Now think about that. With them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be in the Lord. Spend some time thinking about that sometime. A little magic. Isn't that going to be something? The saints are going to be rising. The ones he's bringing with him, big meeting of the Lord in the clouds. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't it going to be great? I got my old buddy up in New Jersey, old Jim Scott. And the last time I saw him, he said, I'll either meet you here or there. Or in the air. Here, there, and there. Boy, what a great truth. Let's go down to Romans 8 just for a minute. Because this is going to tell you what I have made some allusion to. I won't have time to preach a sermon on this. I'm going to show you about the great environment we'll be in. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. I think I'll start there. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The earnest expectation of the creature, and he means creation here, in fact, the same word in the Greek is the one translated creation letter, waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. He's personifying creation here. The creation is waiting just like we're waiting. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, get this, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Perfect environment with glorified saints. We know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. Here are the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And we do sometimes. Sometimes you're aware of it, sometimes you may not be aware. You know why you're groaning? You know how you're groaning? Waiting the adoption, to wit, redemption of our body. You're waiting for that. You want it. And then we'll close in 2 Peter chapter 3. And you know, again, I hate to say it, but I am hitting high spots. The Bible's got a lot more than this, but I can't take it forever. But I hope that I have stirred you up to do some thinking and praying and meditating and glorifying God. But I'm going to start in 2 Peter chapter 3, just read a few verses, 10 through 13, I think. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for, I love this, and hasting. You like that good old King James word, hasting? I love that. Come on, come on. Hasting. Matt, you're in language, man. You probably enjoy that word. Hasting, hallelujah. Get your mind on it. Remember the last prayer of the Bible. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Last prayer of the Bible, Revelation 22. Looking for, are you looking? Are you looking? That's one reason you come to church, isn't it? To be reminded, looking for Him. Looking. Not getting caught up with the distractions of the world. We have to live in the world, but don't get caught up with the distractions of the world. Looking for and hasting for the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, who shall change our vile body, may be fashioned like His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to do all things to Himself.